The brick walls are not there to keep us out. The brick walls are there to give us a chance to show how badly we want something. What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented host, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly, but for now, tell us your name and where are you calling in from?
Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family and Mahara. This is Billy in the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love and freedom and independence.
Hey, Billy, good morning.
This
How
is
are
Richard
you, Mahara?
I'm
good
doing
morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Herbert Green, New York.
This is Richard from Arkansas headed to Indianapolis.
This is Financial Freedom Friday.
This is Larry McKinney, Texas.
Good morning, you Kathy from Idaho. Happy Independence Day weekend. Good morning, happy early.
Good morning, Mahara.
Hey,
Larry. Good morning, Wendy. Aloha from Arkansas, Mahara.
Elliot, what's going on in Arkansas?
It's raining today.
Welcome to the
call. Good morning, Mahara. It's Adele from Long Island, New York.
Hi, lovely Adele. Good morning.
Good morning, sweetie. Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Amy in Las Vegas.
Hey, beautiful Amy. Good morning.
Thanks. From Arkansas.
Hey,
there's
Carrie.
A few of them, Ari.
Morning, Carrie.
Morning, Mom.
Andre.
Good morning, Mahara. Andre from Jacksonville.
Hey, Andre. Welcome to the call, my friend.
Barry here.
Appreciate it.
Good morning, Mahara. Phyllis in St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, Phyllis. Welcome to the call, love.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Vera in California.
Hey, Vera. What's going on?
Hey, whole lot.
Welcome.
Good morning, Mahara. Bill in Rochester, New York.
Hi, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. I'm right here in Tomas, Florida.
Is that
Shirley? Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Beautiful lady. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored, my dear. And I'm full of great gratitude for the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah.
We're so glad you're with us.
Good Friday morning. It's Lori from Wenatchee, Washington.
Hey, Lori.
Harry over there.
Hey, and you can send some of that rain this way for sure.
Right. What's
the ham? It's Charity from Bronx, New York.
Hi, Charity. Welcome to the call.
Mrs. Sheila, good morning. Maha and everyone. God bless.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Hyacinth from New Jersey.
Hi, Hyacinth. Good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
Good morning, Mahara. Diane from Hotlanta.
Hi, Diane from Hotlanta.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who is ready to focus on their freedom?
Hey, Mahara, this is Bruce in Dallas. How are you this morning?
Hey, Bruce, I'm doing great this morning.
Awesome, awesome.
Thank you. We believe in you. You got this.
Rita in Florida.
Good morning and welcome.
Lana Rochelle from California.
Good morning in California.
Hi, good morning.
Yo, Donna, good morning, Mahara.
Hey, what's
going on? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Freedom Friday, July 3rd, 2015, one day before Independence Day. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho. Excited to be on the line with each of you today. Grateful that you made the decision, that you exercised your gift of freedom, and you made the choice to pick up the phone and dial in to the Think and Grow Rich call this morning. I'm excited because we have a special call today. You know, we've got sort of a tradition here on the Think and Grow Rich call that we've been doing now for 5 years or so. We've been doing this call every day, Monday through Friday. It's a call about entrepreneurship. It's a call about mindset. It's a call about studying the principles of success. And it's a call about exercising and maximizing the gift of freedom that we have all been given by the people who have gone before and studied and thought and fought and bled, and even some cases died so that we could have our freedom. And tomorrow here in the United States of America, we've got a special holiday. It's called Independence Day, where every year we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Every year we celebrate our freedom. Every year we remember how important it is to be free. And we've got a tradition on this call that we've been doing every year for the last 5 years where we review some of the events in history that help us to understand and appreciate the freedom that we have and remember some of the people and some of the decisions that were made so that we could have the freedoms that we have. And yesterday, I was browsing through some of the news headlines. I don't do that very often, but every once in a while I'll check, you know, just kind of see what's going on in the news, and I hit this one headline that said, Americans don't even know why we celebrate the 4th of July. And I clicked on it because it caught my interest, and there was a video there by a reporter who was over in San Diego interviewing random people on the street in San Diego. He had a microphone, and he was asking people questions like, you know, why do we celebrate the 4th of July? And what is the 4th of July all about? And who were some of the founding fathers? Who were some of the signers of the Declaration of Independence? What country did we win our freedom from? What country did we fight in the revolution? And I watched that video, and a lot of people would watch that same video that I watched and think it was funny. They would watch that video and laugh because nearly every person that this reporter interviewed had no clue why they were even celebrating the 4th of July, had no clue as to some of the events, some of the people, some of the ideas that surrounded freedom and Independence Day. In fact, some of these people, they didn't know that, you know, he would throw in crazy like names like, well, when Jesse Ventura signed the Declaration of Independence, and, like, they wouldn't even catch it. Like, they had no idea. And, you know, which country did we secede from? Didn't know. Why do you celebrate the 4th of July? Well, I don't know. A guy asked his wife, hey, honey, help me on this one. He's like, no, you're on your own on this. What? Why do you celebrate the 4th of July? Didn't know, right? Had no idea. And he interviewed all these Americans who didn't know. And then he interviewed this guy, I think he was from Italy, an immigrant to the United States of America, and asked him, and he knew. He knew why we celebrated the 4th of July. So I watched that video, and, you know, it's sad to me that there are people who live in this country who don't know why and how our freedom got here, and they don't know how precious of a gift it really is. And the danger in that, my friends, is that if we don't know and if we don't remember how our freedom got here, then we run the risk of having our freedom being taken away. And we run the risk of allowing the precious gift that has been given to us be taken away from us. So it's important to remember. I mentioned this this gentleman I had the opportunity to interview the other night, who has helped his clients earn over $70 million through internet marketing. He's one of the best marketers in the world, really, that I'm aware of. And he has a really amazing story that he shared with us. This gentleman, he's interesting thing about him is he's got this beard that's long. I think he said it was like 8 or 10 inches long. And it's like a goatee, right? It's his goatee. Sometimes he braids it, and it's 8 or 10 inches long. And it's an interesting thing about him. And he's got this story behind this beard that I heard him tell at an event one time. And I asked him the other night when I was interviewing him if he would share with the people on our hangout, and he said he would. And basically, the story is he had this brother who he loved very much. They were best friends. Best friends growing up, drinking buddies, right? They would talk to each other, he said, about when girls would dump them and stuff. Just really, really good friends with his brother. And his brother made the decision that he was going to go into the Army and go over to Iraq. And his brother had a goatee and he had a beard, and he had to shave it because he was going into the military. And so this gentleman that I interviewed was kind of making fun of him. And his brother said, you can't even grow a goatee, or you can't even grow a beard or whatever. And so they made this bet, I think it was like a $50 bet, that my friend, this gentleman I was interviewing, couldn't grow a goatee until his brother got back from his tour in Iraq. And so he took the bet, $50 bet, his brother went into the Army, went to Iraq, and he never came back. He never came back, and so my friend has never shaved his beard. It's continuing to grow because his brother never came back. His brother went to support freedom, and he died for freedom. And so my friend has this beard now, and he says that to him it's a symbol. Whenever he looks at that beard, he remembers his brother, and he remembers all of the great sacrifices that have gone in to giving us freedom, giving us the ability to be on a conference call like this if we want to, giving us the ability to associate with the people that we want to associate with, giving us the ability to speak the words that we want to speak without fear, that someone's going to come and throw us into prison because we said the wrong thing. That's freedom. To give us the freedom to start a business and create something beautiful in our lives if we want to. My friend has this beard that reminds him of that, and he continues to tell the story. He has this team over in Lithuania, and he was over there this one time. He's actually speaking at a university, I believe. He was going to give a class on entrepreneurship, and I think he said he was at the top of this building having dinner, I think, at this restaurant that spins around. And on he said he noticed as this restaurant was spinning around, there was one side of the all the houses and all the buildings that were all gray and drab and the same. And then the restaurant would spin around, and you would see the other side. And these other buildings were colorful and different. And there was this line between this real estate where on the one side it was all, gray and drab and the same. And on the other, and he thought to himself, he's like, wow, the contractor who got all these houses that are the same, he just started thinking about how interesting that was. And then he realized, he's like, the ones that are all the same and gray and drab, he says, there was a line there. And he was looking at the buildings that were built in the communistic side of the area. And the ones that were colorful and different and had variety and had freedom, to be different, were built on the side that had declared their freedom and were not, under communistic rule. And he goes on to tell the story about how he ran into this one spot. I think it was like a TV broadcasting station or news broadcasting station. and there were some names on the wall. And he asked, he says, what are these names on this wall? And he said, these are the names of the people who stood hand in hand and allowed tanks to run over them because they were blocking. The tanks were the communist tanks, and they didn't want the TV station to broadcast the message of freedom, to broadcast the truth about what was happening. They wanted to stop the message from going out to the people. And so there were people who literally held hands, locked arm in arm in front of this TV station, and the tanks ran them over, and they died protecting people's rights to speak the words that they wanted to speak and to not be suppressed, and they died for freedom. And then we have people nowadays who don't even know what freedom is and who don't even remember. Then those are just a couple of the many, many, many sacrifices that have been laid down for us. So I'm happy, my friends, because on this call, we do the best we can to make sure that we don't forget. And we do the best we can to make sure that the people that come within our influence remember how important freedom is and what has gone into giving us the ability to be free. And so one of the ways that we do that is we study on this call the works of Dr. Napoleon Hill. And he, in the book Think and Grow Rich, has a beautiful story that he's written about freedom and about some of the founding fathers and the decisions that they made. And so on the 4th of July every year, we review this story. This is a story in the book Think and Grow Rich, and it's in the chapter on decision. And if you're following through in the ebook copy, let me back up here to see where we're going to start. We're on page 130 in the ebook copy. And if you just want to listen, that's fine too. The story is called Freedom or Death on a Decision. And Dr. Napoleon Hill writes, the value of a decision, the value of decisions depends upon the courage required to render them. The great decisions, which served as the foundation of civilization, were reached by assuming great risks, which often meant the possibility of death. Lincoln's decision to issue his famous Proclamation of Emancipation, which gave freedom to the colored people of America, was rendered with full understanding that his act would turn thousands of friends and political supporters against him. He knew, too, that the carrying out of that proclamation would mean death to thousands of men on the battlefield. In the end, it cost Lincoln his life. That required courage. Socrates' decision to drink the cup of poison rather than compromise in his personal belief was a decision of courage. It turned time ahead 1,000 years and gave to people then unborn the right to freedom of thought and of speech. The decision of General Robert E. Lee when he came to the parting way with the Union and took up the cause of the South was a decision of courage, for he well knew that it might cost him his own life, that it would surely cost the lives of others. But the greatest decision of all time, as far as any American citizen is concerned, was reached in Philadelphia, July 4, 1776, when 56 men signed their names to a document which they well knew would bring freedom to all Americans or leave every one of the 56 hanging from a gallows. You have heard of this famous document, but you may not have drawn from it the great lesson and personal achievement it so plainly taught. We all remember the date of this momentous decision, but few of us realize what courage that decision required. We remember our history as it was taught. We remember dates and the names of the men who fought. We remember Valley Forge and Yorktown. We remember George Washington and Lord Cornwallis. But we know little of the real forces back of these names, dates, and places. We know still less of that intangible power which ensured us freedom long before Washington's armies reached Yorktown. We read the history of the Revolution and falsely imagine that George Washington was the father of our country, that it was he who won our freedom. While the truth is, Washington was only an accessory after the fact, because victory for his armies had been ensured long before Lord Cornwallis surrendered. This is not intended to rob Washington of any of the glory he so richly merited. Its purpose, rather, is to give greater attention to the astounding power that was the real cause of his victory. It is nothing short of tragedy that the writers of history have missed entirely even the slightest reference to the irresistible power which gave birth and freedom to the nation, destined to set up new standards of independence for all the peoples of the earth. I say it is a tragedy because it is the self-same power which must be used by every individual who surmounts the difficulties of life and forces life to pay the price asked. Let us briefly review the events which gave birth to this power. The story begins with an incident in Boston, March 5th, 1770. British soldiers were patrolling the streets by their presence, openly threatening the citizens. The colonists resented armed men marching in their midst. They began to express their resentment openly, hurling stones as well as epithets at the marching soldiers, until the commanding officer gave orders. Fix bayonets! Charge! The battle was on. It resulted in the death and injury of many. The incident aroused such resentment that the provincial assembly, made up of prominent colonists, called a meeting for the purpose of taking definite action. Two of the members of that assembly were John Hancock and Samuel Adams, long live their names. They spoke up courageously and declared that a move must be made to eject all British soldiers from Boston. Remember this, a decision in the minds of two men might properly be called the beginning of the freedom which we of the United States now enjoy. Remember, too, that the decision of these two men called for faith and courage because it was dangerous. Before the assembly adjourned, Samuel Adams was appointed to call on the governor of the province, Hutchinson, and demand the withdrawal of the British troops. The request was granted. The troops were removed from Boston, but the incident was not closed. It had caused a situation destined to change the entire trend of civilization. Strange, is it not, how the great changes, such as the American Revolution and the World War, often have their beginnings in circumstances which seem unimportant? It is interesting also to observe that these important changes usually begin in the form of a definite decision in the minds of a relatively small number of people. Few of us know the history of our country well enough to realize that John Hancock, Samuel Adams, and Richard Henry Lee of the province of Virginia were the real fathers of our country. Richard Henry Lee became an important factor in this story by reason of the fact that he and Samuel Adams communicated frequently by correspondence, sharing freely their fears and their hopes concerning the welfare of the people of their provinces. From this practice, Adams conceived the idea that a mutual exchange of letters between the 13 colonies might help to bring about the coordination of efforts so badly needed in connection with the solution of their problems. 2 years after the clash with the soldiers in Boston, March of 72, Adams presented this idea to the assembly in the form of a motion that a correspondence committee be established among the colonies, with definitely appointed correspondents in each colony. Quote, for the purpose of friendly cooperation for the betterment of the colonies of British America, close quote. Mark well this incident. It was the beginning of the organization of the far-flung power destined to give freedom to you and to me. The mastermind had already been organized. It consisted of Adams, Lee, and Hancock. Quote, I tell you further, that if two of you agree upon the earth concerning anything for which you ask, it will come to you from my Father who is in heaven, close quote. The Committee of Correspondence was organized, observed that this move provided the way for increasing the power of the mastermind by adding to it men from all the colonies. Take notice that this procedure constituted the first organized planning of the disgruntled colonists. In union, there are strengths. The citizens of the colonies had been waging disorganized warfare against the British soldiers through incidents similar to the Boston riot, but nothing of benefit had been accomplished. Their individual grievances had not been consolidated under one mastermind. No group of individuals had put their hearts, minds, souls, and bodies together in one definite decision to settle their difficulty with the British once and for all until Adams, Hancock, and Lee got together. Meanwhile, the British were not idle. They, too, were doing some planning and masterminding on their own account, with the advantage of having back of them money and organized soldiery. The Crown appointed Gage to supplant Hutchinson as the governor of Massachusetts. One of the new governor's first acts was to send a messenger to call on Adams for the purpose of endeavoring to stop his opposition by fear. We can best understand the spirit of what happened by quoting the conversation between Colonel Fenton, the messenger sent by Gage, and Adams. Colonel Fenton, I have been authorized by Governor Gage to assure you, Mr. Adams, that the governor has been empowered to confer upon you such benefits as would be satisfactory. This was an endeavor to win Adams by promise of bribes. Upon the condition that you engage to cease in your opposition to the measures of the government, it is the governor's advice to you, sir, not to incur the further displeasure of his majesty. Your conduct has been such as makes you liable to penalties of Henry VIII, by which persons can be sent to England for trial by treason or misprison of treason at the discretion of a governor of a province. But by changing your political course, you will not only receive great personal advantages, but you will make your peace with the king. Samuel Adams had the choice of two decisions. He could cease his opposition and receive personal bribes, or he could continue and run the risk of being hanged. Clearly, the time had come when Adams was forced to reach instantly a decision which could have cost his life. The majority of men would have found it difficult to reach such a decision. The majority would have sent back an evasive reply, but not Adams. He insisted upon Colonel Fenton's word of honor that the colonel would deliver to the governor the answer exactly as Adams would give it to him. Here is Adams' answer. Then you may tell Governor Gage that I trust I have long since made my peace with the King of Kings. No personal consideration shall induce me to abandon the righteous cause of my country. And tell Governor Gage it is the advice of Samuel Adams to him to no longer insult the feelings of an exasperated people. Close quote. Comment as to the character of this man seems unnecessary. It must be obvious to all who read this astounding message that its sender possessed loyalty of the highest order. This is important. Racketeers and dishonest politicians have prostituted the honor for which such men as Adams died. When Governor Gage received Adams' caustic reply, he flew into a rage and issued a proclamation which read, I do hereby in His Majesty's name offer and promise His most gracious pardon to all persons who shall forthwith lay down their arms and return to the duties of peaceable subjects, accepting only from the benefit of such pardon Samuel Adams and John Hancock, whose offenses are of too flagitious a nature to admit of any other consideration but that of condign punishment. As one might say in modern slang, Adams and Hancock were on the spot. The threat of the irate governor forced the two men to reach another decision, equally as dangerous. They hurriedly called a secret meeting of their staunchest followers. Here the mastermind began to take on momentum. After the meeting had been called to order, Adams locked the door, placed the key in his pocket, and informed all present that it was imperative that a Congress of the colonists be organized, and that no man should leave the room until the decision for such a Congress had been reached. Great excitement followed. Some weighed the possible consequences of such radicalism, old man fear. Some expressed grave doubt as to the wisdom of so definite a decision in defiance of the crown. Locked in that room were two men immune to fear, blind to the possibility of failure, Hancock and Adams. Through the influence of their minds, the others were induced to agree that, through the First Continental Congress, to be through the Correspondence Committee, arrangements should be made for a meeting of the First Continental Congress to be held in Philadelphia September 5th, 1774. Remember this date. It is more important than July 4th, 1776. If there had been no decision to hold a Continental Congress, there could have been no signing of the Declaration of Independence. Before the first meeting of the new Congress, another leader in a different section of the country was deep in the throes of publishing a summary view of the rights of British America. He was Thomas Jefferson of the province of Virginia, whose relationship to Lord Dunmore, representative of the crown in Virginia, was as strained as that of Hancock and Adams with their governor. Shortly after his famous summary of rights was published, Jefferson was informed that he was subject to prosecution for high treason against His Majesty's government. Inspired by the threat, one of Jefferson's colleagues, Patrick Henry, boldly spoke his mind, concluding his remarks with a sentence which shall forever remain a classic. Quote, "If this be treason, then make the most of it." Close quote. It was such men as these who, without power, without authority, without military strength, without money, sat in solemn consideration of the destiny of the colonies, beginning at the opening of the First Continental Congress and continuing at intervals for 2 years until on June 7, 1776, Richard Henry Lee arose, addressed the chair, and to the startled assembly made this motion, quote, "Gentlemen, I make the motion that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they be absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved." Close quote. Lee's astounding motion was discussed fervently and at such length that he began to lose patience. Finally, after the days of argument, he again took the floor and declared in a clear, firm voice, "Mr. President, we have discussed this issue for days. It is the only course for us to follow. Why then, sir, do we longer delay? Why still deliberate? Let this happy day give birth to an American republic. Let her arise, not to devastate and to conquer, but to reestablish the reign of peace and of law. The eyes of Europe are fixed upon us. She demands of us a living example of freedom that may exhibit a contrast in the felicity of the citizen to the ever-increasing tyranny." Before his motion was finally voted upon, Lee was called back to Virginia because of serious family illness. But before leaving, he placed his cause in the hands of his friend, Thomas Jefferson, who promised to fight until favorable action was taken. Shortly thereafter, the president of the Congress, Hancock, appointed Jefferson as chairman of a committee to draw up a Declaration of Independence. Long and hard, the committee labored on a document which would mean, when accepted by the Congress, that every man who signed it would be signing his own death warrant should the colonies lose in the fight with Great Britain, which was sure to follow. The document was drawn, and on June 28th, the original draft was read before Congress. For several days, it was discussed, altered, and made ready. On July 4th, 1776, Thomas Jefferson stood before the assembly and fearlessly read the most momentous decision ever placed upon paper. Quote, "When in the course of human events, it is necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind require that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation." When Jefferson finished, the document was voted upon, accepted, and signed by the 56 men, every one staking his own life upon his decision to write his name. By that decision came into existence a nation destined to bring to mankind forever the privilege of making decisions. By decisions made in a similar spirit of faith, and only by such decisions can men solve their personal problems and win for themselves high estates of material and spiritual wealth. Let us not forget this. My friends, let us not forget the people and the ideas and the sacrifices that have been made to bring us liberty, freedom, the ability to think the way we wish to think, the ability to worship the way we wish to worship without any compulsory means placed upon us. We have those freedoms. We can worship how we worship. We can choose not to worship if we don't want to worship. We can think how we want to think. We can speak the words we want to speak without fear of being thrown in jail for those words. So far, we still seem to have that liberty. We have the ability to write the things we want to write. We have the ability to start a business and build it up so that we can have freedom money to do the things that we want to do, to have more time with our families. We have the ability to do these things because of people like Thomas Jefferson and John Hancock and Benjamin Franklin and all of these names that we've read today, my friend Mars's brother who died so that we could have freedom. And those people over in Lithuania that stood in front of the tanks because of them, right? They've been celebrating these ideas of freedom. You know, what was interesting about the further part of that story of my friend that I was telling you guys about that was over there teaching that class at that university on entrepreneurship is he was teaching that class in the exact same, I believe it was the same city where those people had been run over by the tanks standing for freedom. And he asked them, you know, why did those people die? Why did they die? And you know, the sad thing was that 23 years after they had made that sacrifice, 23 short years, most of the students in that classroom did not know the answer. He said there was one he finally got to that said, well, so that we could have the freedom to start our own business and, you know, build something beautiful and do the things that we wanted to do. And he said, that's right. And he pointed out that it only took 23 years for people to forget. The Revolution of the United States happened over 200 years ago. And look how many people don't remember why the people did what they did. Even though people like Thomas Jefferson said specifically, for a decent respect to the opinions of mankind, we write these thoughts down. Why? So that we could know, so that we wouldn't have to guess, so that we could know specifically why people chose to lay down their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors, so that we might have the ability to be free. Let us not forget, my friends. Let us remember, and let us express gratitude from time to time, on occasions like the 4th of July, and furthermore, on occasions like every day in our lives, when we go forth building our businesses, preaching the message of entrepreneurship, it seems to me that this is one way we can honor those people. We can be free. We can make decisions, and we can move our businesses forward, spreading this message of entrepreneurship and freedom. It seems to me that business ownership and freedom are inseparably connected. So we do honor to the people who have fought and died for freedom when we take advantage of the gift that they've given us. And that's what we do as entrepreneurs. So, guys, I appreciate you for being here. I know the fact that you're here on this call means that you are someone who loves freedom. It means that you are someone who values freedom. It means that you are someone who's making conscious choices in your life to take advantage of the freedom that you have, and I appreciate you for that. I applaud you for that. The world needs more people like you, and as our movements, whichever movements we're involved in, continue to grow, see, as we continue to grow our businesses, it's not just about, you know, teaching people how to get more money. Yeah, that's a part of it, right? Financial freedom is a part of it, but it's also about exposing people to the ideas of freedom and liberty and exposing people to the ideas of putting good ideas in their minds, remembering things, reading history, studying different philosophy so that we can exercise this gift of freedom. You know, this quote that I wrote a few weeks ago and I shared on the call, it said, freedom is handcuffed to knowledge. We can never be truly free without knowledge because our ability to be free depends upon our knowledge of the different choices that we have available, the different thoughts we can think, the different actions we can take. And if we are ignorant, my friends, we are not free, regardless of how much money we have. We are not free. We are in bondage. Freedom is handcuffed to knowledge. So as we continue to remember these people who have fought and bled and died for our freedom and continue to remember how to honor that, one of the ways in which we can honor it is to not be ignorant, to read books, to learn ideas, to understand the why and the how and the wherefore, to all these things that went into our history and leading us to where we're at today. So I love you guys. I'm going to unmute the lines. We're going to jump into the mastermind portion of the call, and you're welcome to share your thoughts. I encourage you, if you're grateful for freedom, if you're grateful for my friend Mars and his brother who died, if you're grateful for those people who stood in front of the tanks and stood for freedom, if you're grateful for the people who, all the people, obviously there have been so many people who have contributed in unimaginable ways to freedom that we can't possibly list them all, but we can honor their spirit. We can honor why they did what they did. And if you've got feelings about that, I would love to hear them expressed in the mastermind portion of the call. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, list leaders are part of our community, and brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. One moment, please. Star 6, who's first? Come on. Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, family. Hey, I really appreciate this 4th of July message that you give every year. And read that great section in Think and Grow Rich. It's really, quite stirring and quite moving. And I've heard it said that freedom is entrusted to each generation, and in the length of it only lasts one generation at a time. So, I think it's just really important that we teach our kids why they're free, and if they're old enough, grandkids. And if we're not a veteran, then we should introduce our kids to veterans who can tell them what the price was they paid. Well, so my father served in the Korean War, and I've shared this before, but he was in Korea fighting when I was born. So I was 4 months old before he ever got to see me. And the result was there was no bonding with my father for many years. But his best friend, David Black, was killed in the trenches next to my father. And it was 40 years before he could ever discuss, his experience over there. But when I was born, my mother wanted to call me William, and my dad wanted to name me David after David Black. And so they named me William David. And so whenever I think about my name, I remember my dad's service and David Black's service. And I often talked to my children about their grandfather's service and what that meant and the price that he paid. I mean, for 40 years, he couldn't talk about the experience. It was so horrible. And neither could my mother, even, and she said, my mother is one who never complained about anything, but she complained about being in California when my dad was in training out there. She didn't like that at all. And she was a young farm woman, and I think it's amazing that more kids don't want to serve. My nephew, who I got to spend some time with last July, I was going into the Marines, so he's in Marine training right now. He's in an anti-terrorist group, so it's a 5-year program, so it's very advanced training. So, that doesn't sound like a death duty to me, and my sister his mother did her best to talk him out of joining the Marines. But for a year before graduating from high school, he said, I'm going to be a Marine. So God bless that young man for wanting to serve and all those who have served and paid the ultimate price. So back to you. Awesome call today. You all have a wonderful 4th of July weekend.
Bill, sure love you, my friend. Thank you for those thoughts. And thanks
love
for
you
your family's sacrifice. Star 6, who's next?
Larry McQueen.
This is Bruce from Dallas.
I think Bruce was next, so Bruce and then Larry. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you, sir?
Excellent. How are you?
Awesome. Well, excuse me. As a veteran on this line, and thanks to all the veterans that are here, from someone that has and will in the future, I've stood in honor guards literally at hundreds, if not thousands, of military funerals, and I continue to work on a daily basis with, you know, directly with veterans and or their families. I also have a bracelet on my arm as we speak in memory of Christopher Neil White, some personal friends of mine that have a camp near the St. Louis area that serves our combat wounded veterans and helps them with, you know, not only, well, healing in many, many different ways, but all those things taken into, you know, consideration. I don't need any thanks because my thanks goes out to those that have lost their lives and their families. And Paul, thanks for sharing this message.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you. Larry, good morning. Hey.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Thank You Growers team. And my thanks go out to all the veterans as well. I am a veteran, and until you have actually served your country, you don't fully appreciate what others in that field have to sacrifice. I'm very fortunate that I didn't have to serve during wartime. I was in the peacetime military, and I was also in the United States Coast Guard, which is more of a peacetime organization. They're under the Department of Transportation during peacetime, and under war, obviously under the Department of Defense. But it is sad that so many of our youth, and for that matter, not even our youth, but some of the people of my generation don't recognize or don't understand what was sacrificed for our freedoms.
Right.
And I hope that they actually do start trying to enforce that a little bit more in our schools, because it's sad that they don't have the appreciation of the freedoms that we have. And that's basically all I have. Again, thanks to all our veterans, and have a wonderful 4th of July.
Thank you, Larry, for your service. I'm going to appreciate that, Larry. And it is sad. You know, the good thing, though, is we can do something about it, like we're doing today. I mean, we're people utilizing our freedom right now to come together to get this message out. You heard Bill teaches his children. My kids, I've got, you know, 9, 7, 5, and 3. All of my boys, at least the three oldest ones, they know. They know what the 4th of July is. So we can teach our kids, and we can teach the people around us, and we can do something about it. And I'm grateful for that. So, Larry, I appreciate you, man. Hold on for a second.
I'm so sorry.
Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Virginia.
Hey, Virginia. Elizabeth from Virginia.
Yes. So thank you so much, Paul, for your passion and for your feelings that came across the lines to all of us this morning. And I share the passion, because freedom means so much to me that I got involved myself and got arrested for freedom back in the 1960s. And though I'm not a veteran, members of my family were veterans and gave their lives for this country. And I'm just so grateful at this time that the climate of the nation is changing for freedom. Folks that didn't think about freedom for others are now coming out and benefiting those who have been wanting freedom and deserving freedom. So as long as I have breath in me, I will continue to teach these young children what freedom means, and try to be a living example of what happened and what can happen right now. So we all have a tremendous responsibility, not to just sit back and be quiet, but to share our experiences with these young people so they, too, can become the great citizens of this United States. Thank you so much, Paul. Have a happy 4th of July.
Amen to that.
Thank
you, Elizabeth. Sure appreciate you. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, Paul, Larry Coates.
I got Larry next. Hey, Larry.
Good morning. I'm so glad you read this every year. I think now is like the fourth time I've heard you read this, and I actually said this morning I think that this is going to be my blog for tomorrow because it's such a great message. And as a veteran, I know guys like Mike Hobbs, who's also on this call, we really, truly, having been through combat situations, we do understand the price of freedom. We've seen our comrades and fellow soldiers and sailors and die before our very eyes, and we understand that it really is a precious gift that we should never, ever take for granted or treat lightly. And I really appreciate the fact that you read this and remind us once a year. I was actually surprised this morning when you started reading it. I was thinking, today's not the fourth. And then, oh, yeah, tomorrow's Saturday. We won't be reading. So I was so glad that you remembered to do this today. Thank you, and back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you. And hey, guys, one thing we might do, I think what I'll do is I'll send a recording of this call out. I'll send the naked link, so I'll send the link directly to the MP3 recording with no, you know, site or messages, anything attached to it. So if you guys want, make sure you're on the growrichaudios.com list, and I'll send this recording out later today. And if we all want to make a post about freedom on Facebook and encourage people to listen to this this recording, I think that might be a great thing to do, a great way to kind of spread this message today out into the world a little bit. So if you're up for that, just go to growrichaudios.com, get on the list this morning, and I'll send the recording out later today. One second. I think I heard a female voice trying to come out. Was there a female there coming out with Pass, a lady?
Veronica in New York.
Veronica, and, hey, good morning.
Hey. Oh, wait. Morning, Taz.
Oh, he'll want you to go first, I promise you.
Oh, okay. Well, I really, you know, I really felt what you were talking about as far as our freedoms and all the battles that were fought for different levels with different people's efforts for their own freedom. And I know that our young people, they're so busy in the now, and they're so busy in the in their own world. Generations after generations, the youth tend to think that the world started when they were born. So it is important for us to repeat these things. There were a lot of struggles going on, but we still have struggles now because people are not being allowed to just, like, peacefully protest or speak their mind. They're being vilified. They're being put in jail and things like that. So we need to spread the word so that people don't sit back and think that that's okay. Everything is easy now. People have gotten really complacent. And I think that this message should sit in the forefront, especially this weekend, if it doesn't sit at any other time. So I thank you for bringing that to the forefront, and I'm glad to have been on the call this morning. So back to you, Paul. Thanks for all your work.
Thank you, Veronica. Great thoughts. Thanks for being here. Yeah.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Paul, how are you today?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm always so blessed and highly favored, brother. Oh, man. Thank you again for reading about this, and I'm like, Veronica is right about us not always thinking about how important things are. I'm one of those people who used to take this for granted myself until my cousin was in Desert Storm and came back without, he lost his hearing in Desert Storm. And then one of my childhood best friends, probably one of the silliest people I ever met, you know, came back a man for more. He's a paratrooper. He jumps out of airplanes, and he's been doing that in places like Kuwait and Afghanistan during those crazy times. And I realized just how serious things are. You know, some of the things that we take for granted, you know, because we are free. We are in the land of the free. We are in the home of the brave. That we take so many things for granted because it comes easy. One of the things, like Elizabeth said, there were people who died for our education. So as a black man, I make sure that my kids really understand the importance of education, you know, because it was a time where we couldn't get educated. It was illegal for us to read, you know, and America has changed and has grown to be such a different place. And one of the things that I do with my freedom, you know, is to make sure that I cross racial barriers. You know, I embrace people from all places. And it's always funny because I do a lot and that people know I talk about, you know, empowering, you know, my, you know, black people. But I make sure that I'm always fighting for equality. So it's not that I want, you know, black people to rise or anything else. I just want what everybody should have, freedom, equality, and the right to learn. You know, one of the greatest freedoms that we have right now is the freedom to educate ourselves. Because with education comes confidence, comes love, and comes so many other great things. So one of the things that we can do outside of really thanking our veterans, and I thank people like Mike Hobbs and all the other people that are on this call that have, you know, sacrificed so much in order to make sure that we stay free, is honor them by educating ourselves and going and spreading that love to everyone that we can, because the greatest freedom we have is the right to love. So I just wanted to say that, you know, and I love each and every one of you guys, and I hope that everyone has a great 4th of July.
Pat Simpson, sure love you, my brother, and you reminded me of a Jim Rohn quote. You know, Jim Rohn said, there is little difference between the man who cannot read and the man who will not read. The result of both is ignorance. How important it is that we follow your counsel, Pat. One second here. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Paul Marie in Florida.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, the lady was first there.
Absolutely.
Hi, go ahead. Welcome.
Would that be me? Okay. All right. I just want to, real quick, I just want to thank all Mike Hobbs and his duty and all the other servicemen and women that were in, that fought for our freedom. And to God be all the glory for all those and bless their families, of those who have lost them because of. And thank you for this call. It's awesome. And that's all I'm gonna go now. God bless you all.
Thank you. Great thoughts. Mario, good morning.
Well, good morning, Paul. I just wanted to, first I wanted to thank you for this great call today. This means a lot to me. I personally have had family members all the way down to the Civil War who served and have died in it, so it's a thing. All I ask, and I really would reach out to everybody and say, when you see a service person today and every day, really, not only just the 4th of July, go shake their hand and just thank them. It's an important thing to do, and to just show appreciation to them. And I'll leave it at that.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Mario. Did I hear Jesse coming out?
Yeah, yes, you did.
Okay.
Well, hello, family. And before I forget, I just want to wish everyone a fabulous Freedom Weekend, 4th of July. You know, just leaving this call and taking that energy and all of this fabulous information with us throughout the weekend is what I wish all for you to retain from us leaving this call. But what I wanted to share again is the fact that how much I appreciate my freedom, this country, all the veterans, all the military for what they do, what they've done, what their sacrifices have been. And Paul, thank you so much for raising the bar, raising the standards, and keeping us current, knowing what our past has been, knowing and showing us how to appreciate and not to take for granted what we have here. And unfortunately, it is so sad seeing that people are not remembering what freedom in this country, where it came from, how it happened. And I guess it reminded me a little bit about what Napoleon Hill was saying the other day when he was beginning to get a little too comfortable and a little too easy in his jobs. He knew something was about to happen, and he didn't want that to happen. And I think as long as we do what we all do here by keeping things keeping an awareness of what has happened in our past about the story of 4th of July, posting it to wherever we can this weekend, I think that's a wonderful idea, Paul. It will be part of our duty in allowing people to be reminded how important and how beautiful this country is and not to take it for granted. And so that's what I had wanted to share. And thank you so much, family, and thank you, Paul, for these calls. And have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Jesse.
Sacramento, Sheila.
Hey, let me clear the lines for you, Super Duper Stan. Hold on 1 sec. Super Duper Stan, star 6, just you, sir. Come on out.
All right, my brother Paul from the other mother. How you doing? And hello to the Think and Grow Rich family. I just had to step up and say something. I tell you, this particular holiday is so important to me, and so important to our country. I just think about it sometimes how we here in the U.S. have the freedom to just travel all across the country. I mean, without anybody saying anything to you, without checking at any gates and all this. We just freely travel the country. That's a major, major, major blessing. And then I think about, you know, why do all these people from other countries risk their lives to try to come over here? They see it clearly why the U.S. is so important. They see it. They are risking their lives to get over here because they, too, want that freedom that we have. And even though we have that amount of freedom, there's still a little bit of, a freedom that we, you know, let me put it this way, there's still a little bit more of freedom that we need to acquire. We have these rights and all that, but if you don't have the financial freedom to be able to do, then you still are somewhat held back. So that's why what we do in this country in terms of our profession and the home-based business and whatever else that you're trying to share with other people, how they can gain that financial freedom, that's what makes it so valuable about what we do. So I encourage all of you to keep doing that. And then as I leave you, you know, what else is there other than freedom? If we don't have freedom, what else is there? So, I mean, think about that. That's why I just love what we do, and I love this call, Paul, and for everybody else, have a super-duper 4th of July, and I look forward to hearing you back after that. Back to you, my brother.
Thank you, Super-Duper Stan. Love you so much, my friend. Great, great, great thoughts. Who was next? I think I heard Sheila coming out.
Mr. Paul Titan Hutchins.
Hey, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning. This is a great call. I would just like to pick back on
Sheila?
What the
go ahead, Chris.
Okay, I would just like to piggyback on what Super Duper Stan said. That was just an incredible point about freedom. And I just want to make one simple statement, and I think that everybody should think about this. I think about it as well. But I believe in fighting for the right when we talk about freedom to ride the bus for all people. I believe in fighting for the right and the freedom for all people to be able to ride the bus. But always remember, if you can't buy a ticket, you're still not going anywhere. So I just wanted to put that out. Back to you, Paul.
Oh, awesome thoughts. Awesome thoughts. Hey, guys, we are at time. So, listen, I love you. I appreciate you being here. Thanks for being freedompreneurs. Thanks for being freedom crusaders. I like to think we're creating freedom crusaders. We're not creating them because, you know, I believe that each of us has the fire of freedom inside of our souls when we're born onto this planet. I think it's there. I think it's there. So all we have to do is fan the flame a little bit. And I believe we're all doing that. We're fanning the flame for each other, and hopefully we're fanning the flame inside our brothers and sisters who maybe have had that light dimmed a little bit and just need a reminder. So thank you guys for doing that. Thanks for being a Freedom Crusader. Have an awesome 4th of July, Independence Day weekend, and we'll see y'all back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Love you guys. Bye for now.
Everybody, have a great weekend.
Let it ring.
Let it ring.